In cycle with the moon, we glow. Separated from the sea,
this was the piece titled Broken Bridge by Linda Lamia. The fourth and second to last piece of this year's Works for Radio. So, William, we're almost at the end. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Almost kind of overstimulated by sound, I would say. It's nice sitting focused and listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah, warm thoughts to anyone listening out there right now. We hope you're enjoying these pieces as much as we are.
Indeed.
Yeah, we've had them with us for almost 2 weeks now, and it feels like they're really getting into some new forms of listening again and in different situations.
It's changing every time.
Yeah, they're like massaging their way into my brain. So, yeah, almost at the end. And the last artist that we're going to have on the program tonight is Jenny Wahl. And Jenny Wahl is from Norway. She's a Norwegian artist, writer, and musician. And she has around 8 solo albums and 2 books to her name. I think when I think of Jenny's works, I think there's a very direct voice, which is very accessible and obscure and mysterious at the same time. And this kind of being in between these states became very clear to me when I listened to the piece that she composed for Works for Radio. The title of the piece is Smoking. And I have a small message from Jenny, which would be nice to read. She writes, "Smoking started out as a series of recordings that I made in Oslo, wandering around, meeting people, and traveling on public transportation, but keeping my phone under pillows or clothing. I wanted to make something casual, a collage of everyday life, but from under the skin. This, of course, led me to writing about mothers and daughters and cigarettes."
And just before we dive into Jenny's piece, I think it's time to say goodbye. Thank you all out there for listening. And thank you to the artists. And thank you to the collaborators in the jury. Yeah. Radio Frinia, Borealis, and Collaboradio.
And once again also, thank you and a big shout out to Ingrid Høyland, who is the third wheel of this Works for Radio team. So we're going to end it off with Jenny Wahl and the piece titled Smoking.
Welcome. This piece is called I Want to Write and Direct a Real Theatrical Performance, but I realize this will never happen. Now imagine a stage. It is decorated to represent the project's budget and the time the project is being produced in. I believe this is called set design, even if no one has designed it. This means it's already falling apart. The stage is literally falling apart.
It's decorated with cigarette smoke.
The stage is decorated with cigarette smoke from 100, no, thousands, no, 100,000 mouths exhaling continuously.
This is every cigarette my mother ever smoked.
What? Really?
Okay, this is new information. Well, my mother smoked for 50 years. It bound us together somehow. At least I really wanted to. I wanted to so much that I am willing to write us together with it. This piece is written with cigarette ash. As a teenager, I secretly wrote songs in my room with my guitar and a tape recorder, singing very softly with long exhales in my room for 2 to 4 minutes. Meanwhile, my mother took smoke breaks from the family in normcore idiocy on the balcony, exhaling slowly for 2 to 4 minutes. Don't you miss sitting with your mother on the balcony at night,
overlooking the stupid seaside town none of you belong to, looking at the smoke move around in the summer air. I can't believe that nobody has linked smoke breaks and yoga breaths and meditation, or that nobody has invented the meditation cigarette, nicotine-free. Those torsos with detachable organs, the interactive human bodies for school kids. We removed the organs and then tried to place them back into the body. I used to imagine I would want to create chaos with them, placing the heart where the liver should be and the uterus and the heart socket. But now I'm faced with exceptional fear and responsibility to reinstate life. I want to put everything in the right place until the plastic torso comes alive and lights up a cigarette. In. Don't you miss realizing that only smokers, watching their own tinted breath move out of their bodies all day long, really know what freedom is? I remember my grandmother was very sick, and my father and I came to visit her in the hospice. My mother had already been there all day, and I noticed a blood stain on her jeans. She had bled through her pad. The blood stain, as if crying, as if tears.
Thank you. Nobody knows the day my baby left this town. Nobody knows the reason that she put me down. Nobody cares when I'm lonely, or just how blue I get when I'm blue. So if I find somebody who is true to me, nobody knows how happy I am going to be.
Nobody knows how happy I am going to be.
Nobody knows the reason why the grass is green. Nobody knows how much a tender kiss would mean. Nobody cares when at sundown the shadows start to creep in my room. So if I find somebody just for me alone, nobody knows how glad I'll be to call her my own. Why the sky is gray. Nobody knows how long it's gonna stay that way. Nobody cares who would love me, or if I will be happy again. So if I find somebody who is sweet to me,
nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Сегодня у нас в гостях группа попутчиков.
А ты сам-то кто, мил человек, будешь? Обоснуй. Может, нам с таким попутчиком и не по пути совсем.
Я певец Михаил Круг. Исполняю свою песню.
Да слыхали кое-что. А сам-то где чалился, браток?
Нигде.
Да ты чё, Фрейрон? Поёшь о том, чего знать не знаешь.
Походу, по свободе за блатня хорошо платят.
А власть сидельцев хочет срубить, фраер.
За такой базар я тебе на волю язык отрежу.
Ну давай. Чё ты винжуешься? Пой.
Пусть течет по воле струйка. сухой и тонкою, чтобы от него портной судья не отгородил меня решеткою. Нарисуй алеющий закат, розу за колючей ржавой проволокой. Строчку, мама, я не виноват. Наколи и пусть стереть попробую, если места хватит. Рисуй лодку с парусами, ветром полными. Уплыву в волки, вот вам. Чтобы навсегда меня запомнили. Не осуждай меня, мама. Я ведь только тем и жил, что знал, ты меня ждешь. Я знаю, ты плачешь вечерами и видишь сны, где я совсем еще маленький. Подкрадываюсь к тебе и закрываю твои глаза ладошками. Ты нарочно говоришь: «Отец, Татьянка!» Я смеюсь: «Нет, нет, не угадала!» Отцу с Танюхой привет. Деньги в конверте не шли. Суки, все вынут. Но я ж на зло им вернусь, потому что ты меня ждешь.
В твоей песне надежда есть. То, что никто даже УЗК отнять не может. Это тебе вместо ксивы. На любой зоне примут. И вот еще что. Зубами цепляйся, но сделай так, чтобы тебя не только за забором слушали. На воле бой. Чтобы все знали. Знали, что и здесь тоже люди живут. Ну, давай что-нибудь повеселее, что ли, а?
Ну, если зал не против.
Good to be back here on Echo Box. You listen to Sirengate FM. My name is Wesley, and I'm very, very excited, very happy about the guest we have this month on our radio show. You just heard music by Kudo the Song. He's one of the inspirations that got me and a lot of people into electronic music from the motherland, and he's sitting right here in front of me. Welcome, Kudo.
Hey.
Good, how are you?
I'm sweet.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. I couldn't wait for this day. I still have flashbacks from Paradiso.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
What are those flashbacks telling you?
Positive energy. You know, I remember it was quite a fundamental time, just after, you know, everybody was coming back from COVID issues and all of that, you know. So it was like a steroid for me. Like it pumped me back into the game, like emotionally and mentally, you know. So it was one of those shows. It was very special for me, you know. So I think it was a good seed that was planted. Yeah,
I think so too. And yeah, it's interesting you said it. I think it was a very special show for a lot of people in Holland, because it was the first time that African electronic music got such a big stage in a venue like Paradiso, which normally doesn't really program that.
Yeah, so yeah, incredible venue.
Yeah, incredible. It really made an impact.
Yeah.
You've been to Holland way often, also before COVID, and you're coming back now.
Yeah.
What's your vision on it? How do you see, like in Holland, but in Europe in general, how do you see the scene developing over these past years?
Man, you know, when you say Holland, my earliest memory is obviously like the Trouw.
Trouw, yo, dope.
I remember when I had like my early Inner Visions releases, like the Bright Forest, and I just have this flashback of the Bright Forest playing a Trouw. Mm-hmm. It looked like we were playing it in this crazy spaceship, you know, the way the club was designed and the way the sound was just so on point. The people here, man, have always just embraced me, you know, in a very loving way, you know, so like musically and also hospitality wise, like the general things, like socially, you know, over the years. So I've always felt like this very calm and warm welcome here over here. So I think Amsterdam for me is one of those special places, and I think it's a very important place for any artist, you know, in the world, you know, to come visit once in a while, you know. And obviously, like the liberal energy of things, you know, and, you know, coming from South Africa, you know, which is kind of different, like culturally. Mm-hmm. And I think coming to spaces like these, you know, it also like opens you up, you know, into other ideas of life, you know. So I think Amsterdam is one of those places.
What did you envision when you were making music like Super Afro and Bright Forest, which got released on Inner Vision?
Yeah.
What kind of spaces did you envision coming to Europe to play that at?
Well, first of all, making those tracks was just purely out of love, you know, out of love. I started making music on cell phones, like Motorola V360 or something like that, you know. There used to be like these weird apps, beat making apps or ringtone making apps, you know. So when I look at Fruit Loops 4, the program I was using to make those tracks, you know, the framework of the screen, you know, it's very similar, you know, the blocks and with the block sequencer. So it was purely out of love, also introducing the new age of technology wizards, you know. So it was something that always stemmed or just showed itself global in my own head, you know, making it in Africa. And I've just always tried to, I grew up watching a lot of movies, I grew up watching or playing a lot of video games.
What were your favorite movies?
A lot. Like Mortal Kombat was my favorite video game.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that.
You know, so I mean, and I think if you pay attention to my music, you can hear like quite a number of those elements, you know?
Some Grounds, the Rambo video?
Yeah, like Rambo, you know? So it's like, you know, now speaking about those records, which is like more than 10 years later, it's like me, I'm trying to go back to that kid again, you know, but obviously a little bit more experienced and more advanced, you know, in terms of other elements of life, you know, because music was sort of like my own bubble, you know. I feel like I've always been different socially, and I was never really the friends kind of guy or the social magnet, you know. I've always found something that's gonna lock me in that corner and just focus on it, and music was just one of those things, you know. So movies like action movies, bro, like Bloodsport, you know, Van Damme, Jackie Chan movies, Bodyguard from Beijing, you know, like Bruce Lee movies, yeah. You know, so I watched like a lot of like you know, warrior elemented materials, if you want to put it that way. Yeah,
and that's the Zulu spirit that also breeds in the music.
Yeah. I think it's something that's just you can never run away from. Like I grew up in a village called Umlalazi, you know, which is a part of a small town called Eshowe, you know. So if you look at the post-Zulu colonial history, you know, it is centered around those areas, you know, like the northern region of KwaZulu-Natal, which is the eastern part of the country, you know. So
that's also near Durban, right?
Near Durban, yeah. It's not far from Durban. It's like 2 hours, you know, 2 hours from Durban, an hour if you're driving like a Manny maniac, you know. So yeah, so it's that energy will always be represented. It doesn't matter where in the world I go, you know. I always connect with people with similar kind of backgrounds, you know, from village to city, from village to city, you know, that kind of vibe. So so it's like bridging worlds. Worlds is what I've always had in my heart. I remember I used to stay in Durban by the ocean, and when I was making these records, and sometimes I'll step out for air and just look at just an aeroplane flying above the city, and I'm like, one day I'm gonna fly out of the city.
You know? So, and look at you now, you're flying.
I ended up just manifesting that reality and dreams, you know, thanks to God Namatongo, you know. So it's something that is very special to me, that question. I could answer it in so many ways, you know.
Well, feel free. We got 1.5 hours to dive in deep. But I wonder, because your name, Kulo the Songs, literally means like the bringer of songs, right? Kuleto.
Yeah, Kuloletu. Kuloletu. It means our song.
Our song.
Yeah. So Kulo is song. Ngesizulu. Isizulu is my native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
The story is, as my mother tells it, I will try to recite it as best as I can, mm-hmm. is what happened was they have been waiting for me for a while as a family. I'm not sure if I took longer or what was the story, or maybe it was just the anticipation. And then my news was sort of like, it was so frequent and in terms of excitement, people were like, hey, lifiani leliqula, you know, like talking about this child became like a rhythm, like a song type of thing, you know. So when I was born, and then my grandfather took me and he placed me on top of his organ, and when he was playing his church hymns, you know. So that's the story.
You played in church.
My grandfather was a big keyboard player, you know, in our church back home.
Christian?
Yes, Christian, Anglican, but Zulu Anglican, if you want to put it that way, you know. So that's the story. You know, I felt like that was my first initiation in music, you know, because I come from a family that really loves music. My earliest memory of my mother getting me ready for school, you know, herself getting herself ready for her work day.
Mm-hmm.
She would play like music, like soulful sounds and gospel and all of that, you know. So my earliest memories of home being in the village, you know, where not only like village sounds, but also like international gospel sounds, you know, international movie sounds, you know, mm-hmm. through television and radio, you know. So all these elements that we are using here today, I have earliest memory of them back in the village, because my grandfather as well was also very much involved in doing like these cassette tape documentaries.
Cassette tape documentaries?
For people in, like for ceremonies, you know, like weddings. You know,
like a mixtape for a wedding.
Parties. Cassette, like VHS. Mm-hmm. He would come and record it for you, your traditional ceremony or whatever. And then he will put it in program, like titles and all that. I don't even know what software he was using back then, like 1994, like 1995.
Old Windows PC.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, like all this equipment and stuff, you know. It's been around, you know, that, as I said, like, I always think about, you know, how the narrative is, you know, if you come from a village, you probably were exposed,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the new technology, probably in the city. But for me, it was in reverse. Like, my grandfather was very much innovative, you know, he brought this stuff, you know, to the small town, you know, to the village, you know.
Nice.
So you find that energy started from there, you know, like being inspired to be involved in these things, whatever they are, these technical things, a lot of wires.
And then also being a gamer, so programming is also something.
You know, I remember we had been playing the crap out of our video game, you know, me and my cousins, and the adapter just blew.
Really?
Boom. You know, like it was at night. I think we were playing too much Contra or Super Mario. I don't know what it was, but there was just so much. And then the next day, you know, he saw that we were very sad about that, and he bought us a new video game the next day. You know? You know, so he knew that we loved this stuff.
And a lot of parents will kind of discourage their kids from video games, but it feels like they kind of encourage you to go dive in and...
Yeah, in a weird way. In a weird way. Maybe there was one thing that kept us, you know, from maybe being involved, you know, in other things on the streets. And, you know, because, I mean, there's a whole other world outside the house as well, you know, in those areas, you know. So you might find that if you, you know, keep occupied on television or radio or video games, you know, it could be a positive, you know, it could be a positive, because the same energy you could be GTAing on the streets, you know, like in real life, you know,
exactly.
and getting involved with all sorts of things that are happening, you know, outside. So I think it's a bit of a blessing. And I think we also have like a long life ahead to experience other things and experiment with other things, you know, with probably a more mature mind. You know, things like cigarettes and alcohol, I started experiencing those much later, you know. So,
later?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean being a child, you know, you are more video games and bicycles and all of that. So, I'm glad that I didn't experience these things much earlier, you know, at those times.
Cause when you mature, you can know
them. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's maybe you can look at these things, you know, in one way or the other, yin and yang, whatever.
Yeah, light and dark.
Yeah, light and darkness, just in different parts of our lives, yeah.
But it's interesting because you were very young when you kind of got your break and the world got to know Culo de Son, right?
Yes, like yes.
End of your teenage years.
Yes, I was a rebel. I was a rebel in terms of like the society I come from, you know, how the progression of life usually is. You know, you go to school, you go to university, you get a job.
Yeah.
You know, me at high school, you know, I was already bunking out, you know, going to nightclubs and while doing quite well in school, you know, like I was quite the A student, you know, in my classes. But you find it on weekends in boarding school, you know, the urge to go out with the older guys. I used to befriend a lot of older people than I was, you know, like the seniors.
Yeah,
mainly because of the music taste that I had as well.
What were you listening to back then?
Yeah, like house, deep house, you know, tribal house, you know, like international releases, international compilations, you know, they'll be imported into the country.
Yeah.
By obviously the big labels and the DJs at the time. So you find that I was just a rebel in many ways, you know. The A students would be like, why are you sacrificing your genius, you know, to be a DJ, you know? And you know what I mean? Like things like that. And it's like the DJ will be like, oh, ain't you a little too young to enter this world, this dark world, you know? So I think I was...
I mean, it was.
I mean, I used to go to clubs underage, you know, I'd carry my friend DJ Kabila's records, you know? you go into these very dark alleys. And I mean, I also tell people a very crazy story about myself that I never had, you know, like how people say they had their first kiss, you know, under a tree somewhere in a park or in school. You know, my first kiss was with a stranger in the midst of darkness in the club, you know. I don't even remember that person, you know. I don't even know who they were, but I know there was a lot of loud music, there was a lot of rhythm, there was a lot of alcohol involved.
It was only kissing or what's
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I look at those stories, you know, as much as I've tried to sort of like only acknowledge, you know, the good boy story, you know, of myself.
I feel you.
And, but I realized that, you know, there was a lot of rebellious activity for me to do what I actually love to do. You know, I
can kind of relate because I was very young too, and some of the DJs that took me under the wing, like, let me say, the way that they were experiencing their lifestyles, women, sex, and I saw that kind of the influence on what I think was normal.
Sure. It became normal.
Yeah.
It became normal.
And you kind of went to adolescence on a dance floor, you?
Yeah, of course.
How
of
was
course.
That?
For me, bro, it was very much tied into the love of music. Because even the records, you know, sure, there was a lot of social activity happening. You know, so you know like how a kid pays attention in the classroom because you want to pass and do well and impress your parents.
Yeah.
You know, so whoever was a mentor to me at that time, musically, you know, I was like, okay, cool, you're going to expose me to this world, but I'm going to learn, you know, the sonic side of it. I'm going to listen to these records And I was so inspired, you know, to go back to my Fruity Loops and be like, man, I want to make something that sounds as heavy and fat. And, you know, DJ Kabila will leave me with his turntables, you know, at his apartment. Fortunately, I stayed a floor above him. And, you know, I would listen to the fatness of these records. I'm like, wow, how did they get them to be so fat? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I didn't even take the program seriously. Fruity Loops, the one that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you could make professional music, you know, on it. But then I realized, started messing around with compressors and everything.
Yeah.
Started giving it to DJs, you know, and then they started playing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for me, that was me going through trials, exams, you know, you pass, you fail, whatever, you know. So I approach the same student mentality, you know, in the club world, you know, when it comes to like the Sonics and all of that. So the lifestyle thing of that world, it dawned on me much later when I was more traveled and all of that, you know. So when I was 16, 17, 18, I mean, I started leaving the country and I was like, 17 to 18 maybe, to the Red Bull Music Academy in Barcelona. I was selected to be a part of that.
You were the youngest to ever participate, right?
I think so. I think so at the time. Yeah, it was me and a brother of mine, Thibaut Taz, from Cape Town. It was such an incredible experience because all the other kids were preparing to go for varsity. You know, so I didn't enter that leg of things. You know, I decided to just choose the academy and kind of focus on my DJ career.
Yeah.
And funny enough, things really started happening, you know, during that time.
Is it funny or is it just the power of you put your intention and you focus on it?
I think it was more intention. Yeah. Intention and focus and resilience, you know. As I said, a bit of cheek, you know, just to be paying a blind eye, you know, to the rest of the world and society, you know. So and I believe that, you know, some of us are not created, you know, for that normalcy frequency, you know. So I believe that as scary as it was, I mean, there was a lot of like anxiety, there was a lot of mixed emotions around it because how people felt at home about it and your general social circle, you know, the anxieties, the worries, are you going to be able to handle it? You're too young, this and that, you know. So I think it was probably one of the toughest ways as well for me to discover who I really am, you know, and in one way or the other. But the music just kept me on that notion of hope, you know, and light. And I've always just been an optimistic being about it, you know. So, yeah.
I heard you talk about light and a lot. And some people, and it's amazing, like Bright Force is a great example, but many examples I would say is light, but there are also songs like Myth and Judgment Day, which people might say are very dark. How do you balance that?
it's just how the tracks themselves make me feel. You know, it's just how they make me feel, and that's how I give them names as well. So I have a thing for words as well that I just love. I juggle with words, you know. Okay. Maybe I should have been a poet, whatever, a writer.
You never write?
Even, I do write.
Do you read?
I do read, yeah. I do read. Maybe not lately. Lately it's been more video consumption, you know. I like materials of wisdom and mysticism and yogis, religious content, conspiracy theories, funny enough.
Okay.
You know, I feel like they all talk about these worlds that exist within worlds, within our worlds, you know. So
Or behind.
Yeah. And I feel like some of the music that we make, you know, using the technology that we use, you know, we obviously come from different dimensions, you know. And I think, you know, like, titles like Judgment Day, you know, as you can imagine, that probably comes from my religious influence, you know, of things, you know, because we were heavy churchgoers, you know, like back home. And I mean, it's funny that you put it in the dark category, you know.
But I have folders in my record books.
Yeah. So, you know, this creation is very vast, you know, and you find that there's just different channels, there's different walks of it, you know. And there's days where you feel like wearing a white shirt, there's days where you feel like wearing a black shirt, you know. So it's a nice set of representation of what lives within you as a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, you got an animalistic side, you got a conscious side, you know, and then you get the subconscious, which does not know anything between right and wrong, and it just takes the experience as it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we communicate a lot with the subconscious.
Yeah, of course. You know, the vibrations. You know, the different music, the different clubs. I notice how I feel after different experiences. You know, if I play a gig in a particular place and I feel a certain way the next day, so you're like, oh, that was the energy there, you know, the people, the crowd.
Yeah.
So, but it took me a while, though, to get to that level. You know, it took me a long time. For me, it was just like a normal experience. Hey, you're a DJ, just go play and get paid.
Yeah.
You know, so, but now, as of late, I'm very much conscious of that part of things.
I was listening to your discography, and I was in 2016 that the album Washa came out.
Yeah.
And that feels very different to me from other dance albums that I heard.
Like, yeah.
There's a clear narrative, there's storytelling, it looks like you're also very much in touch with something inside of you that you want to tell. Who were you back then?
You know, I think 2016 Washa was when that energy of, okay, young man, you've been traveling the world, you've been doing great, you've been exposed, you've been privileged.
Mm-hmm.
but then that energy of your soul, it's like, it's time for you to get in touch with your roots,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, coming with the colonized mind and the colonized experiences,
mm-hmm.
The energy comes with almost like a very aggressive force, you know, and you can feel it. And it's very personal, you know, you all of a sudden, even the materials you consume, you know, on TV or radio, the internet, you know, you just want to watch things about Zulu history, you know, Zulu spirituality, Zulu cosmology, you know. So you find that, I mean, you've been involved in reading all other things around these subjects when it comes to the West, you know, but when it comes to your roots, you know, you have not been exposed to, you know, because of just how history has played out, you know. So it started getting very curious, you know, around that. You know, it's just something that just naturally bursted in me, you know. So I think we all go through that in different times of our lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then you learn that there's many parts of you, you know. There's many dimensions of you as a human being as well, and sometimes it's simply that little kid in the village that left, you know, that you haven't been nourishing. You know, you've just been nourishing the kid in the city, the kid that's been riding all the planes, you know, to Miami, to LA, to Ibiza, to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been mainly taking care of that kid, and then you forgot about the kid in the village, you know.
Yeah.
So it could be simply something as that. Like, you don't have to go deep with it and make it a conspiracy, you know. So even like with just normal psychology, you know.
Yeah.
I started seeing psychologists as well. We'll talk about these things, you know. Then I'm like, hey, I feel a certain way about this. I have this kind of dream and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go into spaces, I'm comfortable here, I'm not comfortable here, you know. So you just grow. I was just growing up, you know, just feeling different states of consciousness, you know. And it's still a long journey of learning. And I think it's more personal more than anything, you know. So I think what was speaking to me at that time was definitely a huge voice of what I would call uNkulunkulu wokhokho, you know, the God of the ancestors, you know. He comes at us in different ways. She comes at us in different ways, you know. So
we call it Winti in Suriname.
Yeah, you know, the great mystery, Wakandaka, like the Native Americans would call it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it hits us differently, you know, at different times of our lives. So, and I mean, it's a big subject right now, funny enough, in South Africa. You know, it's a lot of these woke conscious kids. A lot of kids having spiritual awakenings, you know, obviously some very much so realizing that they are possessed by spirits they shouldn't be possessed by, and then they're going to have to get healed by that. Yeah. And through that process, you learn that, oh, before all these institutions, you know, ancestrally we had ways,
exactly.
you know, to yeah. heal different energies that we inherit in our daily lives and yeah. all of that. And then obviously going through those experiences, you start realizing that, oh, wow, you know, so me as an artist, as a DJ who's overly exposed to crazy energies in different places of the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, we must have had, you know, incredible guidance, you know, and protection, you know, from the Most High in so many different ways because of the spaces we go unconsciously and the things we do in there. I mean, think about the music world, you know, like yeah. the stuff we involve ourselves in and the stuff we're exposed to, you know. So you learn the African way
mm-hmm.
of dealing with that as well, you yeah. know. So I got to that level. And that's the level I'm still growing in. That's the level where you'll forever be a kid in, you know.
Beginner's
so,
mindset. And
yeah,
absorb.
Yeah, of course. You'll always be a kid in. You'll always be a child of the great ones, you know. So it's something that's very grounding as well. As much as the rebellion spirit is still there, but mm-hmm. now you are conscious of this other part of yourself that's gaining strength.
And know? Also yeah. being conscious of that is rebellion itself, because it's, yeah. you know, it's rebellion against the colonial yeah. mindset.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And a lot of things change as well during that process. A lot of things change. A lot of social settings change. You know, a lot of people around you, you know, change. You start to see a lot of different things in them, and they start to see a lot of different things in you. Because now you are in a journey where you are addressing the real issues, you know, mm-hmm. of yourself and where you're going, where you've been, you know. And obviously, yeah, hopefully leading to the utmost advanced mode, you know, of it, you know, to really connect your spirit with the real creator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've gone to an initiation process as well to become a Sangoma.
Yeah,
process of.
Yeah, so a lot of people would describe it that way because that's the most commercial way, okay. you know, of
please correct
of,
me.
Of describing it. Yeah, so it's you know, we have different connections to our ancestors. We have different altars to our ancestors. And you may find that, so we have this saying that our ancestors live through us, yeah. you know, so you may find that, you know, bridging different worlds, you know, like the past and today, and, especially with the music and the gifts that you were given by them in the Most High, you may find that with the things that you are doing as well, you are evoking, you know, these spirits, you yeah. know, without even realizing yeah. it, you know. So there's processes that are needed to be done for people like us, you know, to balance that thing out, you know, so that it is healthy for you in the world of today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, these are things that I did not know as a young African, you know, like growing up, you know. So it's just a part of your life that you go through, and we all go through it differently,
mm-hmm.
you know, and also it's another part of your life where you discover, you know, more gifts around the gift, you know, yeah. that you believe that you had, the music thing, and then you realize that, like, I'll give you an example, if you're a modern doctor, you know, like a GP or a surgeon, like as an young African,
yeah.
you may find that, you know, in your bloodlines, you know, there is like a huge army of healers, you know, of mystiques, you know, in your bloodline. And they are so heavily connected to you, but they will express themselves in a modern way of things, like yeah. in a modern occupation, modern title, you know.
Music?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Music or being a doctor or whatever, you know. You could be a programmer,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting together certain kind of codes,
yeah.
you know, but you got this old man living in you who used to put together certain herbs,
yeah.
put together certain mystic technologies, you know, to create natural robots, if you want to call it, natural energies, natural yeah, spirits, yeah. to do certain things, you know. So it's a fascinating world. It's a very fascinating world.
And it's only becoming more fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fascinating world. And you realize, even like sonics, like putting together sounds, yeah. you know, manipulating
yeah.
sounds,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like from playing the drum with like a normal stick, you know, from a tree, mm-hmm. you know, playing a drum, which is created by cow skin and, you know, whatever else. You find that there's a lot of elements in just the drum, and you see people playing a drum. It's been put together by a lot of elements, yeah. you know. So, and then you realize, oh, okay, we are messing around with digital versions, you know, of this stuff, like yeah. digital recordings and all of that. So, you know, depending on how you lay it out, you know, how you arrange it as well, you mm-hmm. know, it's going to end up sounding a certain way. It's going to end up evoking certain things and certain spirits and all of that. So I think we are going through that, you know, and I mean, in different ways, this thing is going to affect us. People are telling us that we are going through different dimension shifts and all of that. So for me, it was just my version of that, you yeah. know, going through that route, you know, and attending to all the different kinds of energies that live within me. And it doesn't stop there as well. It's still progressive. After that, you still have to learn about A, B, and C, you know, mm-hmm. to lead you to D, E, F, yeah. you know? Yeah.
You were just talking about it also, like how music and sound sonics kind of transport people's minds into different dimensions. And I yeah. mean, Sun yeah. Ra had this movie in the 70s, and he's been yes. talking about yes. freeing the human mind through synthesizers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. James Blake just released his album with a beautiful title, Singing Robots into Heaven.
Yeah.
And he was also talking about this. And if we now fast forward to 2023, technology has advanced. We have, of course, hardware synthesizers. You can do a lot on software. And there's a lot of talk now about AI.
Sure,
and
sure.
AI,
sure.
how you can use that sure. in music. And
yeah.
Some people worry that it might take away the humanity, the heart and the soul of the music.
Yeah.
Others think it's a beautiful people to democratize it more and create an opportunity for people who are not musically inclined to still create yeah. music.
Yeah.
You have been at the forefront of using digital options to create different worlds and connect different worlds. How do you feel like this AI revolution is going to change things?
Look, man, obviously the conscious me, rather the surface me, like, it's just as a normal young man, mm-hmm. it's weird. It's very, very weird, very strange. and I think it's also not so weird, you know, when you study the weird stuff of the world, yeah. you know, over time. And, you know, when you study mythologies and all these things, you realize that it was expected. It's just another cycle of things. Mm-hmm. Isangoma, you know, they'll usually tell you things like, I had a vision. Mm-hmm. So usually you could be sitting and then there will be a movie that will play in front of your eyes. You know, who's playing that movie? Who's broadcasting that to your eyes? I mean, think about Isangoma back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like before the TV and technology.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now we have TVs, we have plasma energy and all these things. It's the same technology. You know, it comes from the same source.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be deep enough, you know, to find the real truth, you know. So you find that